Today on Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe.
There are a few sentences that can have a more powerful impact in your marriage than this one. I'm sorry, I was wrong. It takes all the fire out of the argument, friends. It launches you into a conversation of what's really going on. But Fusio doesn't allow you to say these words. When we live in humility and our spouse comes to us with something, we're able to drop the defenses immediately because we don't have to win. This is an opportunity to choose to lose, and in doing so, choose to grow.
Saying you're wrong, especially in the heat of an argument, isn't easy. We want to win. It's human nature. Today on Telling the Truth, Pete Briscoe shares the second part of his message, Choosing to Lose Wins in Marriage. This message is one of the most requested this past year, and Pete will get started in just a second. Remember that right now, any gift you give between now and December 31st will be doubled by a generous matching grant and bring us closer to hitting our critical end-of-the-year financial goal of $530,000. But we only have a few weeks left. There are several ways to give. You can call our toll-free number at 1-800-889-5388, 1-800-889-5388, or you can also give via text message. It's really easy. Simply text TTT to 313131. That's TTT to 313131. And thank you so much for giving to help us reach this goal by December 31st, so more people around the world can experience life. Let's go to Pete now for the second part of his message, Choosing to Lose Wins in Marriage.
Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says all believers should live this way. No one should seek his own good, but the good of others instead. This is what Paul teaches us in Ephesians chapter 5, the famous marriage passage. You know the marriage passage? We usually start when we teach that passage in verse 22. So we start right in with, wives, submit to your husbands, right? Well, I've told you before that the word submit doesn't even appear in that verse. It says literally in the original language, wives to your husbands. No verb. Which one might say, what are we supposed to do as women with our husbands? Where do we find the verb? The verb is in the verse immediately preceding, verse 21, which is the governing verse for the entire marriage text. And you know what that verse says? It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Husbands, wives, submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. The word submit, hupotasso, upo, meaning under, tasso, meaning place. It's in the middle voice, which means it's a voluntary action. Voluntarily place yourself under the other person. Husbands, place yourself under your wife. Wives, place yourself under your husband. It's a beautiful, fascinating, pictorial way to say, choose to lose. And then the rest of the marriage text comes from that. Husbands, here's how you choose to lose. Wives, here's how you choose to lose. It's a beautiful picture of this simple biblical principle. And as we choose to lose, relationships deepen. My experience has been that when two spouses in Christ choose to lose, love is then demonstrated in new and rich and real ways. And real marriages break out. When two people choose to lose, listen, real marriages break out. We're talking about the best way to deepen relationships in our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're learning that the best way to deepen your marriage is to have love. That's what Paul says in this text. But we learned that love is not a sentiment. It's not a feeling. It's actually a demonstration that love is something actively in the power of the Spirit that we do for one another. And we saw in verse 4 that love is patient, which means it's long-suffering. We're showing a long fuse to our spouse in the power of the Spirit. Love is kind, which means we're helpful. We're truly seeking to make our spouse's life easier than it was before. Then after those two positive statements of what love is, Paul goes on to give us 7 negative examples of what love is not. We're going to look at the first 5, because when you group them together, they basically teach the same thing, which is that love is, in contrast to these 5 things, love is choosing to lose. So let me read them to you. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. Let's dive into these for a few minutes. Paul says, first of all, love does not envy. The word envy here means displeasure at another's good fortune. Love does not get jealous when someone else wins. Paul uses the term in chapter 3, verse 4 of 1 Corinthians to denote rivalry or competition for vaunted positions in the church. It's the picture of longing for power in a relationship, for position in the relationship. Paul says, instead of competing for power in your marriage, choose to lose. I know it's counterintuitive, it's countercultural, but it's the best way to have a great marriage. He goes on to say, love does not boast. This Greek word is found nowhere else in the Bible. It's unique to this place right here. It means to be a windbag, to be a braggart, to be self-flattering and self-centered. This is the person who is constantly doing things to call attention to himself or herself. You've seen this before. It's kind of a bummer in a marriage. Paul says that's the opposite of love. Instead of drawing attention to ourselves, what we're going to do in Christ is we're going to choose to lose. And when that happens, then we will find incredible joy when our spouse is the center of attention. He goes on to say, love is not proud. Love is not proud. The word is phusio. It means literally puffed up. It comes from the root word meaning to inflate. So you've got a balloon. Inflated ego, proud, an inflated view of oneself. That's what the word means. It means I have an inflated view of my views and my intellect and my ability to reason. An inflated view of my ability to make decisions, my skill set, my memory, my ideas. And so I thrust myself out into the world and grace the world with my presence. If you're a Fusio man, here's what you think every once in a while. Wow, she is so lucky to have me. If you're a Fusio woman, if you're struggling with Fusio as a woman, every once in a while you'll find yourself thinking, I wonder what would have become of him if he hadn't hooked up with me. Fusio. Fusio, listen to me, Fusio kills marriages. Kills them. Heather Marshall wrote a blog in 2008 on why pride kills marriage. Here's some interesting thoughts. Because pride makes us feel independent and self-sufficient, so we don't need God, we don't need other, we're okay on our own, and that kills marriages. Pride makes us self-righteous and critical of others. We might even joke that we have the spiritual gift of fault-finding. If you're joking that you have the spiritual gift of fault-finding, there might be a Fusio issue here. Pride makes us feel the need to be right all the time. We've got to be right every time. We've got to win every time. But when you are proving yourself right, please hear me, even when you are, please know that your spouse is always coming in the loser. And over time, it hurts your relationship. Pride makes people defensive. They can't receive criticism because, wow, I'm getting criticized. I feel like I'm losing and I've got to win, so I've got to defend myself because I got to win. That's what pride does. Proverbs 25:12 says, the one who listens to valid criticism is like a gold earring or other gold jewelry. It's a precious gift when someone gives you loving criticism. So when our wife comes to us or our husband comes to us and says, you know what, honey, I've noticed something. Do you mind if I speak into you a little bit? If our response is, okay, go ahead, but then I've got a few things I want to talk to you about. And as opposed to, wow, the person who is closer to me than anyone else in the world, the person who knows me better than anyone else in the world, is taking a huge risk to step out and say, you know what? I'd love to pour into you. I'd love to speak into you. Why wouldn't I want to listen to this person? No one cares more about me living a rich life than this person. Yes, please, let's hear it. I'm not saying it's not hard, but humility receives criticism with grace, as humility gives criticism with grace. Heather also tells us that pride makes it hard to apologize when you're wrong. If you're struggling with Fusio, the words, I'm sorry I was wrong, come very difficultly for you. Practice them this week, just in your mirror. Look in the mirror and say, I'm sorry. Make your muscles work. I'm sorry I was wrong. There are a few sentences that can have a more powerful impact in your marriage than this one. I'm sorry I was wrong. It takes all the fire out of the argument, friends. It launches you into a conversation of what's really going on. But Fusio doesn't allow you to say these words. When we live in humility and our spouse comes to us with something, we're able to drop the defenses immediately because we don't have to win. This is an opportunity to choose to lose, and in doing so, choose to grow. Love does not boast, is not proud, does not dishonor. I love the King James Version translation of this Greek phrase. Does not behave itself unseemly. Does not behave itself unseemly, shamefully, disgracefully. It connotes rudeness instead of graciousness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul chastises the Corinthian church because they were getting together for community meals, kind of like potlucks in the church basement. They were doing this in people's homes around dinner time, and everyone from the church was coming. But the rich folks got there before the poor folks because the poor folks were still in the fields until dark. And by the time the poor people in the church got there, guess how much food was left? Rich people ate all the food. Paul's like, really? Really? You can eat all the food and not leave any for the folks who have less than you? And so he says in 1 Corinthians 11:22, do you despise the church of God by humiliating or shaming, acting unseemly to those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. By the way, they were relating to the poor people. What they were doing is they were shaming them for their shortcomings. They were shaming them for what they didn't have in a rude and condescending way, humiliating way. Paul says, that's not love. It's not loving to do that to someone. Finally, he says, and he just comes right out and says it, love is not self-seeking. It's not. It's not loving to seek to win. Love does not seek its own. It doesn't believe that finding oneself is the ultimate good. It's not enamored with self-gain or self-justification, self-worth. Love does not insist on its rights. Love doesn't try to win. Instead, it chooses to lose. It's so counterintuitive. And when two people start loving each other this way, it is so powerful. When they start loving each other this way, friends, marriages break out. This is the type of sermon that is so easy to keep in the theoretical realm, isn't it? I mean, I think the vast majority of us, if not all of us, would agree that selfishness has no place in marriage. Selfishness kills marriages. We get that. But yet we allow it to take root in our relationship and cause untold havoc. So what we have to do is we have to take this simple principle that love is choosing to lose, and we have to figure out what it looks like in everyday life.
When you choose to lose, you win in marriage. Pete Briscoe will be right back to tell us more. Just a quick reminder that a group of donors has offered to double your gift this month to help Telling the Truth reach a very important $530,000 year-end goal. So please call today and double your gift to help more people around the world experience real life in Christ. Our number, 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. And be sure to request this special thank you with your gift, the end of year collection, the best of 2014. The number again, 1-800-889-5388. Now here's Pete with more of Choosing to Lose Wins in Marriage.
So let me go back to the scenarios I mentioned at the beginning of my message. And let's see what it looks like to choose to lose in those scenarios. There's one night, but there's two things that we want to do on that same night. Let's be specific. It's a Friday night, and the man wants you as a couple to go to the high school football game. The woman wants you as a couple to go to a couple's baby shower. You know what? On second thought, this is a terrible example. This is... it's obvious what should happen in this scenario. Can I just... side note, please, please, side note. My personal opinion, I'm not speaking for God here, my personal opinion, no man should ever have to go to a couple's baby shower. My personal opinion. Baby showers are not created for men. Okay, back to my text. Okay, let's talk about this, because this is a real issue, okay? So Friday night's coming. She really wants to go to the baby shower. You really want to go to the football game. So if we have the winning mindset, it's like, I'm going to figure out any way I can to get to that game. I'm going to figure out any way I can to get that man to the shower. And we start to try to win, and we start to fight. And the whole week is tension. And then something happens on Friday night. Who knows what happens on Friday night? And then Saturday, we're just mad at each other. Does this sound familiar? What does it look like to choose to lose in a scenario like this? What it looks like is we sit down and we look each other in the eye and we have an adult conversation. We look each other in the eye and say, we got an issue. We both want to do something different on Friday night. We want to do it together. We can only be in one place at one time. So, and we look each other in the eye and we ask some questions. She looks at me and she says, why do you want to go to the football game? Is it just another high school football game, or is there something special happening Friday night that you don't want to miss? It's a good question. I look at her and say, why do you want to go to this couple shower? Why would anyone want to go to a couple shower? And then she says, you know what? This couple that's having this baby, they're an incredibly neat young couple. I really want us to get to know them a little bit. I thought this would be a really cool opportunity for us to connect relationally. And there's a reason behind. And so you have an adult conversation and then you go to the football game. Just kidding. Okay, so there's an argument and the argument escalates, right? Maybe the argument is a disagreement on how to discipline a child. I don't know if this ever happens in your home. The child does something. One of you wants to crack down. The other one wants to give a little bit more rope. And you're looking at each other like, are you kidding? That would be the worst possible thing we could do. And we are miles apart on how to deal with this kid. It's hard. This is marriage. And so if my mindset is I got to win, I've got this mindset, I've got to convince her that I'm right. She's doing the same thing. I've got this mindset, I got to convince him I'm right. We're both trying to win. We're going to really struggle. As opposed to choosing to lose. We both come to the adult conversation. We look each other in the eye and we say, all right, I've got an idea of what I think we should do, but I'm going to leave it back here because I really want to hear your idea first. And you need to hear me. I'm open to you influencing me in your direction. I'm open to that. I'm willing to lose if you've got a better idea. And so she shares her idea. And then she says the same thing to me. And then I share my idea. And you know what? We pray together and we come together as a team and we try in the Holy Spirit to figure out the best way to love this child. And you know what? When we come willing to lose, God has room to lead and guide us as a couple, as opposed to fighting and trying to win. You can see how much better this would be. So there's a financial decision and you're on totally different places on this. Let's be specific. Husband wants to buy a high-end cable package for the TV. Wife says, we can't afford it. No, yes, we can. No, we can't. Yes, we can. No, we can't. Ah, trying to win. Woo! Okay, so what would it look like to actually choose to lose? Okay, let's sit down and talk about this. Let's ask a question. Why do you want that high-end cable package? It's so much more money. What's the point? And then he says, well, then I could get the Sunday ticket, which means I could watch the Packers every Sunday. Okay, that's worth that much money to you? Let me ask you, why are you so opposed to me getting this? Oh, you know, you spend so much time in front of the TV in the first place. I'm scared to death. If you get that, we're going to lose you even more. This is about us as a family. It's not about the money. Oh, now we're getting to something. Now we're having a real conversation. And because both of us are willing to lose, both of us are choosing to lose, whether we get the cable thing or not, that's back here. Now we're talking about real stuff, and that decision will be easy to make once we really deal with the real stuff. Choosing to lose when two people are willing to do it makes marriages break out, friends. I was thinking this week there's a secondary benefit to choosing to lose. Marriages grow much deeper and much richer. But John Maxwell's written a book. I haven't read the book yet, but I love the title. His title is, Sometimes You Win, Sometimes You Learn. Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. And that title made me think, how much do you learn when you win as opposed to when you lose? So I used to coach Annika and all her little girlfriends in basketball. We had our share of second place trophies. One year we're in the championship game. We hit a shot with 2 seconds left to go up by two. We're all jumping up and down. We finally won. They throw it in. A girl turns from half court and just heaves it. Swish, 3-pointer. We lose by one at the buzzer. The girls are just devastated. The next year, the very next year, we're in the championship game. We're just playing our hearts out. End of regulation, we're tied. First overtime, end of the first overtime, we're tied. End of the second overtime, we're tired. We're tired and tied. The ref calls us out to midcourt. And just the two coaches, he goes, okay, guys, I got the rules here. After two overtimes, we flip a coin. I said, shut up. You do not flip a coin in the championship game. Are you serious? He goes, sir, it's right here. I read it. I'm like, are you kidding? Okay, so we get the girls lined up around the center circle. All my girls on this side, all those girls on that side. I'm standing behind my girls. He flips it up. They call heads. Their girls jumping up and down, laughing. Our girls crumpled, crying. Second year in a row. Second again. I pull my girls over to the side. I let them cry for a few minutes, and then I got down on one knee, and here's what I said. I said, hey, girls, welcome to real life. Because here's what's going to happen in real life. You're going to be in a job one day, and you're going to kill yourself for 3 weeks working on a project. You're going to hand it in to your boss. He's going to look at it, throw it aside, and go with someone else. Welcome to real life. It's not fair. It's the way it is, though. And I got to teach them about real life. The girls who won, they're just jumping. They didn't learn anything.
You're listening to Telling the Truth, the broadcast ministry of Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe. Today, Pete is sharing advice from 1 Corinthians 13 on how to make your marriage stronger. He'll be right back with a final thought. Do you make it a point to spend time alone with God every day? That time really is key to knowing God and experiencing the abundant life Jesus talked about in John 10, verse 10. Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe each write a daily email devotional to help you dig deeper in your quiet times with God. These nuggets of wisdom provide a brief but rich look into Scripture to help you know Jesus better. Sign up for the free devotionals when you visit tellingthetruth.org. That's tellingthetruth.org. Now here's Pete to close out today's message from 1 Corinthians 13.
When you choose to lose in your marriage, not only does your marriage get better, but guess what? You grow. You learn. Things you would never learn if you won all those conversations, discussions, and arguments. Here's what I'd encourage you to do this week. Be looking for opportunities to lose in your marriage. Say, Holy Spirit, show me opportunities to lose, and choose to lose in a healthy way. That doesn't mean you just lie down and say, oh, whatever you want, honey. It doesn't mean that at all. You heard my scenarios. It means having adult conversations, but with a heart that's willing not to go your way. Look for opportunities to do that. And a real marriage might just break up. There's another thing I'd encourage you to do. Spend some time this week reflecting on how your spouse over the years has chosen to lose. As I was preparing this message this week, I just sat down and I thought for 15, 20 minutes of all the ways that Libby over the years has done this for me. I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed. And, you know, when you're in marriages, sometimes you can just be going on in real life and you can be dealing with real stuff, and it's so healthy to take a step back and reflect on how beautifully your spouse has loved you. Imperfectly, of course. But any marriage that's still together, I guarantee you, somewhere back there, over the years, they've chosen to lose over and over and over again. It's the only way we survive. Reflect on that. You'd be amazed at what that'll do for your marriage as well. Let me pray for you. You know what? Before I pray, I want to read the end of Kelly Flanagan's blog, Marriages for Losers. In marriage, losing is letting go of the need to fix everything for your partner, listening to their darkest parts with a heartache rather than a solution. It's being even more present in the painful moments than in the good times. It's finding ways to be humble and open, even when everything in you says that you're right and they are wrong. It's doing what is right and good for your spouse, even when big things need to be sacrificed, like a job or a relationship or an ego. It's forgiveness, quickly and voluntarily. It's eliminating anything from your life, even the things you love, if they are keeping you from attending, caring, and serving. It is seeking peace by accepting the healthy but crazy-making things about your partner, because you remember those were the things you fell in love with in the first place. It's knowing that your spouse will never fully understand you, will never truly love you unconditionally, because they're broken creatures too, and loving them to the end anyway. It's beautiful. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for the opportunity to learn and grow together. Thank you for the marriages represented, and really all the relationships, because this principle applies to any relationship that's important to us. And I pray, Lord, that you deepen our marriages this week as we choose to lose. In the power of the Spirit, Jesus, that you would love our spouses this way through us. And I pray our marriages would deepen as a result. Please do it, I pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Pete Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. Now, don't forget about the wonderful matching grant Telling the Truth has been offered during the month of December to help us reach our year-end goal of $530,000. Every dollar you give today will be doubled up to $50,000. Call 1-800-889-5388 with your gift towards the life-changing work of Telling the Truth, and we'll thank you with the best of 2014. Messages to help you keep relationships strong, finding identity, and helping those who need encouragement, all which point you to the abundant life Christ offers. Call 1-800-889-5388 and ask for your copy. 1-800-889-5388. And remember to log on to tellingthetruth.org to see how your gifts are helping push us towards our year-end financial goals and donate online. Monday on Telling the Truth, it's more of the best of 2014 and a message from Jill about how your self-worth and search for meaning is tied directly to your relationship with God. It's a new spin on the Proverbs 31 woman next time here on Telling the Truth.